Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Oh, boy. That is terrifying to think about. It's Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show, Penn's Oil Performance Line. And Jhené, I cannot commit to much around here. I don't speak in a lot of absolutes, and I don't say a lot of always or nevers. I will never be on The Bachelor.
Never say never. That is not my mission. I love accomplishing things. I couldn't speak because I had a visual of you on The Bachelor, like literally you. And I actually saw the visual because Ali sent it to us. It's you on the floor sliding with a rose.
Did you almost throw it in your mouth? There, by the way?
No, I didn't throw up at the thought of you as a
I was going to say, that seems kind of messed up now. I'm not sure how to take this.
No, you're my work boo. Never.
All right. You know what? I'm going to believe you for right now. Jhené and Gola Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as the Toronto Raptors battle Kemba and the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. To help break down some NBA action and get a little insight on the Nets' recent head coaching hire, we're pumped to be joined right now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line by our ESPN NBA front office insider, Amin El Hassan. Amin, how you doing, man?
Not bad. And I'm going to say, man, keep hope alive because The Bachelor is a Disney product, and so there's brand synergy there. In the same way that I'm keeping hope alive that I'll be on The Mandalorian one day.
Oh.
There we go. Speaking into existence in 2020. There are a few bigger Star Wars fans on planet Earth. Amin, like, I feel like we've got to be able to create some groundswell for this, right?
I mean, I don't need to have a big role. I don't even have to have a speaking role. I just want to walk across the set. Maybe I'll be a stormtrooper. You don't even have to see my face. I can say, hey, that was me. And people say, prove it. And I said, I can't.
Amin, are you mad that I haven't watched The Mandalorian yet either?
I don't care. I'm not one of these people who, like, feels like everyone should like all the things that I like.
Okay, good.
All right, that's fair enough. We've established that groundwork. I will now not rest until I can see Amin as a stormtrooper. And it'll be like Aaron Rodgers when he was on Game of Thrones, where everyone's trying to find him, and no one actually has any idea which character he was in that show. So while we work on that, Amin, in the meantime, I guess we'll talk about the NBA playoffs, because someone that you know real well, Steve Nash, now going to be the head coach for the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm curious, from your experience with him, there was a lot made of the hire. You know, Stephen A. brought up the notion of white privilege and all this. But in your mind, what kind of coach is Steve Nash going to be for the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, let me first start by saying there is a privilege at work here, but it is not white privilege. It is superstar privilege. This league, and by the way, I have no problem with it. This league was built on the backs of superstars. The reason why any of us have jobs in basketball is because superstars made this game popular. And so the thank you we give them is they get the Disneyland Fast Pass to cut the line on some of these things. And you know, Steve Nash got it. Jason Kidd got it. Magic Johnson got it when he became president. Isaiah Thomas got it when he became president of the Raptors way back when. There's a long list of NBA superstars. Larry Bird got it in Indiana, black and white, who have got to skip the line, and that's the reason why, because, yeah, they paid their dues by building this league. Having said that, I think Steve is going to do a great job for a couple of reasons. First of all, unlike many great players, he is great at articulating concepts, right? A lot of times, great players, the game comes so natural to them, they don't know how to translate to us morons, like us regulars, us plebs, or whatever you want to call it. Steve Nash is excellent at taking something that you or I could watch 100 times on film and never see, and he'll point it out and point it out in a way that you'll see nothing but that every time you see it for the rest of your life. The other thing is, he's a different dude. This isn't a guy like a Tom Thibodeau or my life is basketball, what would I be without basketball? He's got a lot of interest outside of basketball. He's a fully formed human being in that way, and that's going to resonate with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. These are two guys who bristle at the notion that they're just basketball players, right? So when you're talking about getting the right head coach for them, it's got to be someone who understands that mentality and can communicate on that wavelength. And Steve Nash, I think, does that better than any of the other candidates who are out there.
Here with my brother from another African mother, Amin El-Hassan, our ESPN NBA front office insider. And speaking of front office insider, Amin, when you were in Phoenix, is there an experience you had, you know, with the organization and also with Steve Nash, where you realized that he was just a different breed of superstar and how that can translate now to Brooklyn?
Oh, I mean, every moment you're around him, you know instantly. To me, I still say this, Steve Nash ruined point guard evaluation for me. Because now, whenever I watch point guards, I just think, but then they can't do it. You got to do it like this. And there's an impossible standard in my brain, and that was set by Steve Nash. The idea that we had Roger Bell on my radio show on SiriusXM NBA the other day. Roger Bell said, Steve, most point guards you play with, they throw you a great pass, and you bobbled, or you missed the shot that you should have made or something. They'll give you a stern look. Some of them might tell you, I ain't passing you the ball again. Steve is the opposite. Steve is saying, you'll get it next time, or even more, he'll take blame and say, that's my fault. I should have got it to you earlier. That's my fault. I should have got it to you better, right? And so that kind of stuff is not just empowering for the stars, but it's empowering for the role players. There's a reason why the players who came and played for us at Phoenix had career years. Part of it is, yes, that Steve Nash makes you better by finding you better shots. But the other thing is, he gives you a confidence that you never even knew you had.
Talking to Amin El-Hassan here on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. That confidence surely going to be something everyone's looking for in Brooklyn next year. But we know we got plenty of postseason basketball going on right now, Amin. I'm just curious. Like, I feel like water started to find its level here as we've gotten into the second round of the playoffs, and the Clippers and these other teams are looking more like themselves. Based on what you've seen so far, who's your favorite going the rest of the way here? Has any of that changed for you from the start of the postseason?
I mean, no, nothing has changed. I still think the Clippers are odds-on favorite
to win, but it's just, I haven't been impressed, right? That's not because the Clippers have blown me away. And I would say, you know, it was already kind of in question before all of this. I would say that the Lakers have a great chance, obviously. Yeah, I'm not impressed by the Lakers either. I think neither of them have really given me the same, we're great, we're head and shoulders ahead of everybody else, even though they've obviously had blowout wins in their playoff games so far. And I think that's just the reality of this league, even before COVID and the bubble and all that stuff. It was a really flat race. There were a lot of teams that could legitimately say they were championship contenders last in March. Now, with the bubble, we're seeing a different dynamic. That field might be even bigger. There was a month ago, you told me Miami Heat could win the championship. I was like, no, I don't see it happening. Now I'm like, what? I don't know. It went really well.
So then, Amin, you're not impressed by a lot. I know you. I sit next to you all the time on the jump, and that's what I appreciate about you. You keep it real. Who are you impressed by? Is it Jimmy Butler and the Heat, or is there anybody else you're like, whoa, this is really cool what the bubble basketball has produced here?
Well, this is going to sound silly, but I've been really impressed by Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, I've always kind of felt like he's a great offensive player, but, you know, I wasn't impressed by the other parts of his game. And in the bubble, he's shown me not only amazing, not only a consistent defensive player, a very good defensive player. A guy like, oh, I don't want to be guarded by this guy. And then the playmaking. That's what's really happened when I've seen the playoffs is he's taking that leap of, I'm not just a professional bucket getter. I'm out here making drop passes. I'm doing the lead. I am playing the game with an idea that I'm a fully formed basketball player. I'm not just a scorer. I am a complete player. And I didn't see that part of his game evolving this quickly. So I got to give it to Jason Tatum. He's really impressive.
Really impressive stuff, Amin, from you as always. We look forward to you reprising the role of a stormtrooper here soon. It's the only way I'll even consider getting on the Bachelor stage. So we've got that handshake agreement in place now. All right, man?
It's all about looking really intense before you give the role. Okay? You just have to take that moment and look really intense, like you're conflicted, even when you're not.
There we go. Sound advice there. He does it all. Amin, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Appreciate the time, man.
Anytime.
It really is. That is the key, is like you have to like look away. It's always by a beach setting where they give out the final rose, Chinee. So you've got to stare like off into the distance, like deep, you know, deep pensive sigh, and then you hand out the rose.
I will learn this while watching The Bachelor this season, and I want to regurgitate, and I guess that's the wrong word, what I was saying before. I really did throw up when I thought about you on The Bachelor. I have yogurt here, and I was eating yogurt, and my mouth was just a little more sticky. Plus, you see all the gloss I got on my face. So So everything was just a little sticky in that moment. I would love to see you on The Bachelor. And that would provide the right energy, especially, you know, for all the ladies in these streets here. So,
you know what? Shout out to our friend Kayla Johnson for
texting. I know. I had to respond to the tweet.
During this and reminding everyone that you 100% threw up in your mouth a little bit.
No! That was the yogurt. Happening. It was sticky. Come on.
Blame the yogurt. That's real mature. It is way too Friday already in here. But coming up next, we got to head out to the Pac-12. Certainly some big news that we saw breaking there yesterday. And Chinee asked me maybe the most important question about my alma mater anyone's asked in a while. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
God. When this... I don't even know what you call this. This isn't a song. This isn't like...
How is she now? Is she okay? Who is this?
Rebecca Black? Oh, yeah. I think she's out here.
Oh, she
is? Wait, is she okay? Check out her Instagram.
Oh, no. Is it
last time what? Clifton...
No, it's a glow-up. It's a glow-up.
Oh, okay. All right. I was worried this was like a bark situation. I was going to get a little worried about
some things.
I
thought it was like... Last time Cliff told us that it was quarantine. And so, yeah.
All right, now, you know what? I was waiting for, like, the moment. Like, every Friday, I've started to realize Chinee, through the course of the week, starts to relax a little bit more and a little bit more, and then eventually the Friday thing slips out, and now we are here. It's too damn Friday. It's Chinee and Golic Jr.
It wasn't as bad as last week. It wasn't as bad as last week.
What, you mean, like, when you were dropping OnlyFans references out here left
and
right?
Yeah, I mean, we're a sports network, and we talk only to fans of certain groups, like Patriots fans, Rockets fans, Lakers fans, man, college football fans, right?
I can't stand you. Speaking of college football only fans, Pac-12 got some good news yesterday.
Let's go.
There's no good segue for the trash that we're putting out right now. But in all seriousness, we touched on it yesterday a little bit, Chinee. Good news for the Pac-12. And we mentioned this is not just for so many people focused understandably on football right now, the immediacy. The Pac-12, along with the Big Ten, were the two Power 5 conferences that decided to push action to the spring for the time being. The Pac-12 yesterday, Larry Scott and others put out a statement talking about the deal that they had struck with Quidel Corp to acquire rapid testing for COVID-19. It can be done in athletic training rooms in as quick as 15 minutes. It was a huge get for that league and something that I'm sure, Chinee, as a member of that conference and someone that was looking forward towards basketball season, and we've talked to Penny Hardaway and others about looking forward to that. This is a huge step in trying to help that process along.
This is huge. This is huge because I think not too long ago, about maybe two or so weeks ago, we were talking about how the testing wasn't enough as a fail-safe system. If you're getting tested twice a week or even sometimes three times a week, if someone is positive, you don't have enough time to turn around and do that contact tracing. And so now that's why you see large numbers of teams testing positive for the virus. And that could really affect outcome of teams and games, postponements. And we're seeing how teams and organizations and conferences and leagues are sort of going with the flow when it comes to that type of situation. Daily testing is ideal. We are so fortunate to have Zach Banner of the Pittsburgh Steelers come and talk about how important it was. First of all, how uncomfortable it was to get daily tested, but how important it was because everyone, you know, and we even heard it, you know, with Kirk Cousins in the mask, like there are protocols that help you on the day to day to ensure that sports can be back. And for the Pac-12, who has been very transparent in their processes, yes, we're going to postpone because we don't have all the processes in place, but guess what? We're going to make sure all of our presidents, our chancellors, our athletic directors have access to the information and streamlined information so that we can sort of find a solution. And this is the first major win. And of course, it comes from the Conference of Champions. You already know about that, right?
Oh, God. She would have been ready and waiting for that one. Now, as you mentioned, as far as the timetable on this, Larry Scott yesterday, and this is courtesy of reporting from our own Adam Rittenberg, Larry Scott said the Pac-12 will need 6 weeks of prep time in football to get back on the field. Said the initial timeline not to play before January 1st will be evaluated in light of the testing advancements, and he is hopeful they can look at restarting before January 1st. That news comes along with momentum around the moratorium on athletics, maybe changing around the Big Ten as well. We know President Donald Trump intervened and offered assistance with testing with them as well, and it brought up the conversation of, we had heard the Big Ten mentioning maybe November, maybe a start around Thanksgiving, exploring these different options as the ADs and coaches, the same voices who wanted to play football all along in this process. process, got together and continued to talk, despite the fact that this is a decision made at the presidential level in these schools, got together and talk. And so it's created this conversation on if there is a start delayed into later in the fall from the Big Ten, the Pac-12, would the rest of college football maybe wait up for them and wait for them to catch up when it came to the postseason on this? And Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney was asked about this the other day and talked about what his idea of doing this would be.
We're ready to roll, and that would be something I wouldn't be in favor for. I'm all in favor of them playing. Love for them to play. That'd be great, and I think the testing is a great opportunity for everyone, for sure. But it'd be kind of hard to start in November and then get in there, but we wouldn't want to push the season into February and all that stuff. We're going to push forward. Some changes, but that's where we are right now.
Dabo Swinney is more driven to play this college football season on time. More Driven is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear, discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. And we heard that there. Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said yesterday it would be awesome to have some of the traditional postseason opportunities between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten they have enjoyed with each other, as he talked about a desire to maybe have those two conferences line up when their season starts and all this. And Chinay, it makes me, I think, appreciate what college football used to do a little more, because I don't think the rest of college football should wait if and when this happens. I understand that Ohio State is important to college football and has a great team. I understand the Pac-12 has some competitive teams, but you can't ask the rest of college football the ACC is getting ready to start September 12th in a lot of cases. You can't ask them all to wait, but what you can do is allow all these teams to recklessly claim championships like we used to in all of this. And I know Ohio State will be first in line when it comes to doing that.
Look, this might be our best chance at Stanford for a championship in a minute, because we've been trying to make that natty game, that title game. And maybe if y'all go ahead and start early and then we have to do ours later, maybe it's going to be the Oprah season. You get a champion, you get a champion, you get a champion, you get a champion. I think we're all excited for football. The NFL is back next week. Obviously, college football right around the corner. And even if we have to wait to see my conference, the Pac-12, wait to see the Big Ten, I'd rather see something than nothing now, especially if they're doing it in the most safe ways. And also, like, I know the testing, the daily testing is a major win, and I hope that's something that they can look to implement as soon as possible. And I do think that those conferences that are starting early will sort of join the bandwagon and hopefully get those things, under control, so that when they do have the ability, now you can get daily testing too. And so everyone's going at the same time. I want football. I want football. And if it's next week, that's great. But at the same time, I do think it's going to poise a lot of questions come championship time, come January 1, come February. What if? We're going to be playing the what if game.
And you know what? Those are luxuries, right? Like, if this all goes well enough to where we get to that point, I would consider it a luxury to have to deal with those problems, because the problems that the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and other conferences are dealing with right now as it relates to trying to find the safest way to return. And as you mentioned, finding more rapid testing is a huge get for these conferences. But we know it's not the only issue they've faced. I mean, hell, there are teams in different geographical areas in the Pac-12 that wouldn't be even allowed by the local ordinances to be on the practice field right now. So this is one small gain in a larger picture about health and safety as it goes about returning to play for these conferences there. But it's great to see those positive steps. It's great to see this become more readily available.
Yeah, and if you play, like the ACC is set to play very soon, that doesn't mean your work is done just because you're playing. And I think that's what the Pac-12 has sort of shown. By having this daily testing and saying we have a 6-week or so runway, which puts them, I think, at mid-October, yeah, that's great because they found the safest way for their conference. But that doesn't mean if you're in the ACC or the Big Ten, just rush and put things out there. Still work while you're playing to make sure it's the safest environment, because at the end of the day, that's what matters most.
Absolutely. The health and safety of these athletes is the foremost priority, period. End of sentence. Everything else we can work on and build on from there. We'll work on and build on even more as it pertains to the upcoming NFL season when we check in with one of our favorites, our ESPN NFL analyst, Ryan Clark, next after this word from DraftKings. See, the football season is less than 10 days away, with the reigning champs set to take the field and kick off the season, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of football season, DraftKings putting you in the center of the action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. Just draft your team, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for things like yards, touchdowns, and so much more. And with all this cash up for grabs, there's no better place to get on all the action than with DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code CJR to get a free shot at $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter the DraftKings free survivor pool. That's promo code CJR to get in on all the action for a limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chenay and Golic Jr.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenay, there's one thing we can appreciate on this show. It is how much preseason tends to be a long, really brutal grind.
Oh, it is. That just actually took me out of my summertime vibe because, like, when you're grinding and it's the summertime and you're crossing over to fall, you know good things are coming because you've made it through camp.
That is the God's honest truth. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenay Igwumike. And our next guest, Ryan Clark, joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And my first and one of very few training camps in the NFL was in Pittsburgh with the Steelers when Ryan Clark was there. And I'll never forget, we're in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. We're coming up. This field is deep down in a valley. And you go up after, and we get out of there, and I'm a rookie trying to show up everywhere and be on time and do all this stuff. So I get out of practice and warming down in the weight room. And I see this is like an hour after practice. Ryan Clark is the lone man out there still coming up the path, signing autographs for everyone who wanted one, interacting with these fans he had seen for years there. He was the mayor of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And so, RC, I got to ask, as we near the end of training camp now, what got you through it every year, man? It is a grind for everybody. We know how hard it is and what a tough camp Mike Tomlin runs. What got you through training camp every year?
I'm about to surprise y'all. My favorite part of every football season was training camp.
Wow.
I thought I prepared for training camp like it was the season. As I got up in my career, probably about the middle of my career, I stopped bringing the TV to camp. I would only bring books. And to me, it was a time where, because I had my oldest when I was 19. I had my second child, my son, when I was 21. I don't remember a life not being a parent. I don't remember a life not being a family man. And so it's actually more hectic for me to be home than it is for me to play football. And so you get a situation, man, where you're just in a dorm room and you have your own space, your own time, and it was all football. And the thing I loved about training camp was it wasn't scout team. So every single play you took in training camp, you got to compete. Every single play you took in training camp, you got to show some dude that was competing with you or some dude on the opposite side that you were a better man that play, that day, that you worked harder than they did that offseason for those moments. And I lived for that, man. Like, I lived for saying or for feeling like, you know what, I prepared for this. I'm going to keep preparing through this and keep working. And as far as, like, the fans, bro, I was an undrafted free agent. And, like, I don't remember – I was a Giant at the time, and I would sign a lot of autographs then. But really, nobody cared. You know, like, they just would hold their hands out for somebody to sign that would sign in. And I just kept that mindset. Like, you know what? It was good enough for me to stand out there and do it when nobody really wanted it. When Michael Strahan would walk up and not sign, or Kerry Collins would walk up and not sign, and I'd see a little kid and do it then, and they'd just be happy they got one. You know, after a while, they were happy it was actually Ryan Clark. So I never wanted to change that about myself.
Well, RC, we are grateful to have your time, and I'm sure those fans were grateful to have your time as well, just because you saw them, and that was probably – it probably made their day, and you're making our day here. But, you know, we're talking about camp, and it's the end of camp, which means it's also good times for the players because they're going to get paid. And I know on NFL Live today, you guys were talking about the first purchase you guys made after going league. What was your first purchase after being in the league?
I put my money in the bank. Janae, let me tell you how much my first check was. My signing bonus when I signed as an undrafted free agent to the Giants.
Was it light?
$684.34 was what I cleared after taxes. And now listen, I know that's not a lot of money. Like, I know that now. But for a dude who just got $684 richer, that was a ton of money. I never had that much money in my bank account. Man, I sent that check home to my mama. I said, Ma, put this in the bank. I didn't made it. I was rich. To me, I was like, man, this is awesome. And so, you know, I just decided that
after that, you know, I wanted more checks, but I definitely didn't buy anything. Like, at the time, I couldn't afford a pair of Steve Maddens with that. If they had iPhones, I would have had to still rock a flip phone. So I didn't make no big purchases, man. I just banked that money and hoped that I'd get more.
Yo, RC, I'm not, you know, I'm just keeping it too real here. My check was looking the same, even though I was number one draft pick, but I was in the WNBA. So, like, I put that money straight back and definitely I felt that money. I felt that money. We stacked it up, so we did the same thing.
And it's worked out pretty well for both of you guys since that moment. We're talking to our ESPN NFL analyst, Ryan Clark. And Ryan, you mentioned long, prolific career in the NFL, part of some great teams and seen some great players. Adrian Peterson, we got the news today, released in Washington. Where do you think he could realistically help out this season for a guy that seems like he still wants to go and has plenty in the tank?
You know, I think Adrian Peterson has to go somewhere where they do have a very good back that may need a spell from time to time. I think the thing that's hard is I don't want to say it's easy to play running back, but there are so many places with solid number twos or number twos who could probably do some things right now that Adrian Peterson cannot. You know, I think he probably would love to get an opportunity to go to Dallas, somewhere where there's a one-back system kind of like he likes, get him opportunity to get downhill with a great offensive line. But Ezekiel Elliott's there. Pollard can play. And so I don't really know where there's a place for Adrian Peterson. Football is a young man's game. Running back is a young man's position, unless you're Frank Gore and are going to probably play with your kid someday who's now in college. And so I think Adrian Peterson's just going to have to wait, see how things pan out. But this could be the end of what was a phenomenal, amazing, illustrious career. Unless someone gets hurt and down the line, people need running backs to come in and get some carries.
Going to be a lot to watch, check out, and see as it pertains to a guy who's a walk-in Hall of Famer. RC, we appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Man, thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
Ryan Clark, you can follow him at RealRClark25 on Twitter and check him out. He was,
you know what,
on NFL Live today.
You know what? That was like Team Keyshawn, but the very, very kind version.
That was. He kind of like backed into it a little bit, softened the blow, heaped the praise on there. It was a vet move by RC.
It was a vet move. Yep.
Not surprising by him. So RC's making vet moves. He was a league squad guy, like, all, you know. He was been there, done that on all this. Coming up next, you and I realized today that we have very real millennial problems. And we feel like some of you might have them too. We're going to share that next. It's Janae Golick Jr. on ESPN
Rookies
Radio and ESPN News.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Janae and Golick Jr. reminding you, tune in for an NL Central rivalry this Sunday as the Cubs host the Cardinals, presented by Geico. Coverage begins Sunday Night Baseball at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, at 7 p.m. on ESPN. And Janae, we talked earlier about some good news. The Pac-12 got a deal together to get rapid testing for the conference there. The possibility for daily testing opened up quickly. You can turn it around in as little as 15 minutes. And so good news surrounding there for your alma mater and the Stanford Cardinal as part of the conference champions. You asked me like the funniest question about Notre Dame football earlier off air. Do you remember what it was?
I said, please help me right now. Please explain Notre Dame football. Just that. Explain Notre Dame football. Explain.
And you know what? Like, under normal circumstances, I would be like, what is there to explain? Like, one of the premier institutions in the country academically, tons of football tradition. But I understand people looking up today because we saw the ACC put out its preseason poll,
yep,
and Notre Dame checked in at number two in a conference's preseason poll and received a first-place vote in there as well. I think two, actually.
Oh, okay.
First-place
votes. Two more than I thought, but it's okay. Go Tigers.
Wow. All right. First of all,
go Tigers. I'm here for Clemson. Sorry, Trevor Lawrence gang right here.
My God. You know what?
Win never for Trevor.
Yes,
that's the energy I'm on.
From the people who brought you Suck for Luck comes Win Never for Trevor, a guy who's had a glow
tank
up.
Tank for Tua.
And I was going to say it was Suck for Luck, Tank for Tua. They walked so that Win Never for Trevor could fly in this situation. That being said, he is going to be looking at Notre Dame in conference, and that is a source of confusion and anxiety for a lot of people that are the conference fans, because normally we are unaffiliated football-wise, we're an independent, we are anarchists,
yes.
It's a beautiful thing, but this year we get to join up and be a part of the ACC.
I saw that, and I was like, wait, hold up, what?
it's new for everybody, and it's a one-year solution to this one here. But you know what? Listen, Chiney, we talk about college a lot because that was where we had like a lot of learning experiences, growing experiences. And I saw one of my friends, Jess Matano, who works over at SI, tweet this earlier today that she was talking to a friend who was kind of like young-shaming her for not knowing how to write a check or anything like that. Like, and it got me to thinking back to something. Did you ever have like one of those embarrassing like coming-of-age moments when we got to college? Like, this is like super millennial stuff in my mind, like the stuff that people rip our generation for not knowing.
Yeah, this is a problem. But like my parents, they take care of all my business aspects. I'm proud of it because they hold it down. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Maybe in quarantine, I did have to write a check, and my mom was like, Chiney, sign the back. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, sign the back? You sign the first. Like, sign the back. I was like, oh, shoot, my fault. Because like when you have to do it online and take a picture. So I totally get that one. What had happened was I was at Stanford, and we're talking about in college. You know, we were learning a lot. That was the first time we're on our own. So my sister was there 2 years, you know, ahead of me. And so I go to her and awesome suite off campus, like right near Stanford campus. And she's like, oh, guess what? Like, I'm going to do the dishes. And I was like, what? Why are you telling me this? We come from a traditional household. We come from an African household where we didn't even know our dishwasher worked the whole time we grew up in childhood because our parents made us wash the dishes by hand and just leave them in the dryer. Like, we don't even use the dishwasher. So Neka's like, oh, we going to use this. Like, oh, yeah, mom ain't here, dad ain't here. We're going to use this. So like, cool. We load up the dishwasher and then we put detergent in there. And then we walk around and we go back to the living room and we're sitting. And then all of a sudden, because Neka's on the couch and I'm on the floor. I forgot what we're watching. Probably, I think it was football. And I think, this was Michelle Wee, the golf legend, was like down the hall. And I remember people were coming and we're watching like, I can't remember what Stanford football game. And usually everyone congregates because my sister had like the biggest TV and the biggest open space. And so people were getting ready to come. And I looked out of my peripheral because I was laying on the floor and I started seeing bubbles. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? Bubbles. The whole kitchen floor was a sea of bubbles and water, a slip and slide all the way into the living room because we used laundry detergent or something like that, not dishwashers detergent. We didn't know how to do the dishes. This was the first time we did the dishes together, and it was a sea, and we just started swimming in the bag. It was so much fun until like they were like, oh, hey, there's like drips coming from the floor above. We're like, oh, see, what happened was there was a leak. We don't know what happened. I think it was our sink. We don't know what, yeah,
so your neighbors are getting rained on in there while you guys were up there enjoying. You guys at least made the best.
Think about college. Yeah, think about college. Like, it was like, oh, we made this mistake and there's bubbles everywhere. But I was like, wait, hold up. There's bubbles everywhere. Slide. So, yeah, that was our rookie mistake right there. How about you, though?
I was going to say, Chiney Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. My rookie mistake actually cost someone else money on this one. So I was in college. I think it was like my freshman year at Notre Dame. And I wanted to send my mom a Mother's Day card. And so I thought, all right, like, I'll do this. I'm going away for the first time. I'll surprise my mom and actually be proactive enough to send a card. And so I go to Notre Dame's post office on campus. And I walk up there, and they got this wall of all the postage stamps that you can buy in there. And you can go in there, and it's got the different, you know, dollar amounts or cent amounts that it costs to buy each stamp. And I look all the way over, and I'm doing this, and I go, oh, man, they got stamps for 1 cent in here. They got 1 cent stamps. Like, all right, bet. Like, why would anyone waste money on these expensive stamps over here?
Did you have a penny?
I did. I was like, all right, like, bet. Like, you know what? Like, oh, you guys are that rich. You got money to blow on stamps. And so I put the 1 cent stamp on my card and send it to my mom, put it in the mail, and we're good. I'm like, all right, like, I did my sonly duty. And so I get a call when that card finally gets there. And my mom is like, Mike, did you mail me this card? I said, yes. She goes, I had to go to the front door with change for the mailman because you put a 1 cent stamp on this. Like, do you know how postage works? And I was like, I bought the cheap stamps. I had no idea fundamentally how postage works. And I feel like that's the common thread here, Chiney, is technically both of these are our parents' faults.
That is their fault because they didn't prepare us for doing the dishes using the dishwasher. So if they did, we would have not created a whole slip and slide, an original bubble scenario. But your parents should have educated you on how to use stamps. I still don't know how to use a stamp. I'm sorry.
Oh, like, and like, when do we ever send mail? Like, as you say, just reference Jess Matana, patient zero on this one. What are checks but Venmo for old people? And what is mail but something that could be accomplished electronically now? Now, shout out to the USPS, by the way, though. We're all here to support the Postal Service.
Yes.
But in that instance,
especially now,
I just needed some time to help out with that. So educate yourselves on the Postal Service and support them and do a better job of it than I did in this situation.
Yeah, me too.
These are millennial problems. By the way, at Chiney321, at Mike Golick Jr., if you've got a millennial gaffe like that, We want to hear about it. We'll keep that going. We have a must-win, just-win scenario.
Ooh!
We're going to get to next, though, on ESPN Radio.